Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. And if you put Genesis 2 up verse 1, just put it up on the monitor there. If you don't have your Bible, your cell phone, or whatever you use, your iPad, your iPod, whatever, I want you to find Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to have it up on the monitor, but we'll get there in just a moment. Now, I've been teaching on the series Faith Works. Faith Works. And I decided to teach on this particular series because faith is how you as an individual is how you're going to live a successful life. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. If you're going to be successful in your personal life, then you're going to have to know something as a Christian about the faith of life. Then secondly, faith is how we're going to build a successful church here in Columbus. We're going to have great things that we're going to be believing for, buildings, land, property, people, equipment, and it's going to take corporate faith to be able to pull it off, but we're going to pull it off. Now, understanding how faith works is like a puzzle. It's like how many of you put a puzzle together? Just about most of us. And there are different pieces to the puzzle, and there are different pieces to the faith puzzle. So we've covered two pieces. We've talked about the focus of faith. We spent about 4 weeks talking about the focus of faith, and then we concluded last week talking about the law of faith, and we spent about 3 weeks talking about the law of faith. So we're going to look at another piece of the puzzle, and this is a huge piece of the puzzle. It's going to be the perspective of faith. Say that, the perspective.
The perspective.
The perspective of faith. Now, the perspective, we're going to get there in just a moment. The perspective of faith can be summarized in three words. Three words. It is finished. Come on, say it.
It is finished.
Come on, say it.
It is finished.
So if anybody asks you, what did the preacher talk about? Say, he talked about the perspective of faith. And they said, well, what's the perspective of faith? Then you got three words. Answer. It is what? Finished. Now, listen, this revelation is something that you must have to live on a high level as a Christian. And if we're going to operate on a high level as a church, we're going to have to understand something about the perspective of faith. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Because I'm going to try to go real slow today, real slow, because we're going to set the foundation. It's going to take us close to 6 weeks to deal with this insight. So very important. Let me ask you a question. When you look at the average life of the believer and the average local church, question, we're not judging anybody, okay? And we're talking about ourselves, too. I'm talking about pastor, okay? Would you say that the average Christian live on a high level of manifestation or a low level? Talk to me.
Low level.
Low level. I agree with you. I think that, unfortunately, when we look at the average Christian, we're not judging now. I'm talking about myself. We're talking about us now. I'm a Christian just like you are. When you look at the average Christian life, if we'll be honest, the average Christian live basically on the same level as everybody else, okay? The average Christian struggles financially just like people, unsaved people. The average Christian's marriages, they struggle with conflict and divorce just like. The divorce rate in Christendom is just as high as the divorce rate among the unsaved. Right. The average Christian dies sick, just like everybody else. So really, when you look at the average life of a believer, and we're not judging now, there's really not that much different between the average Christian's life and the unsaved. Now, that's an unfortunate reality, okay? And then when we look at the church, when we look at the body of Christ, the average church really is really no different than the average whatever. I mean, it's not like the world is looking at Christians and say, man, I want to be a Christian. It's not like unsaved people are saying, man, I want a business like the church, because the church operated at a high level. So there is something that's missing. And I'm always self-evaluating. You see what I'm saying? I'm always judging myself. I don't want to play games. I don't want to be saved and just be saved.
That's right.
If it's possible to live at a high level, I want to live that way.
That's right.
I want the church to operate at a high level. So it's something that we're not getting.
You're right.
I heard somebody say, you're right. Okay, it's something that we're not getting. Okay, now, this will answer part of it. There may be many variables. This may answer part of it. This piece of the puzzle, I think, is going to be a big piece. Mm-hmm. Whenever you put a puzzle together, usually they are big pieces. Mm-hmm. You know, they got little pieces. You plug it in, but you still don't know what the piece is going to look like. But sometimes you get a big piece. And you put it in, you start seeing what this picture is going to look like. Am I right? If you get what I'm going to teach you the next 6 weeks, I think you'll have a big piece to this faith puzzle. Because we have to get beyond definitions. And it has to translate. This Bible, it has to translate in our everyday life. It has to translate in our spiritual life. It has to translate in our minds. See, if we depressed and suicidal just like unsaved people, that means this hadn't translated. Does that make sense? So it has to translate in our marriages. It has to translate in our home. It has to translate in our finances. It has to translate in our bodies. It has to translate in our church. I believe it's going to be a great blessing for you. We're talking about the perspective of faith, and that perspective can be summarized in three words. It is finished. Now listen at this. And we're going to be real slow in this first lesson, okay? Real slow. The goal of this part of the teaching is to either confirm or alter your perspective in regard to your inheritance in Christ. That's my goal. I want to confirm your perspective, or I want to alter it as it relates to your understanding and you're walking in your inheritance in Christ. Let's look at the word perspective. We're talking about the perspective of faith. The word perspective means your viewpoint. It means the way that you see things. The way that you see things. So if your viewpoint is accurate or correct, then all I'm going to be doing is validating it. You're going to say, yeah, I believe that. That's right. That's the way I live. Okay. If your perspective is off, then I want to alter it. I want to correct it. I want to help you to correct it so that you can have alignment, so that your belief system will be aligned with the scriptures, so that you can have the level of manifestation that God wants you to have in your life. Okay? Now, let's look at another word, finish. Let's look at that word, finish, because this perspective can be summarized in three words. It is finished. It is finished. So the word finished means to reach to the end. It means to accomplish a goal. It means to complete a job, complete a project, complete an assignment. The word finished could be summarized in one word, done. You may say to your son, are you done with your homework? It could be summarized in one word, through. Are you through cleaning the garage? Finish. Come on, say finish.
Finish.
Now, I'm going to give you, we're going to get to that scripture in a minute. Okay, we're going to get to that scripture in a minute. But I want to give you three power statements that's going to run through the whole series. Three power statements that run through the whole series. Three power statements. And it's going to be on MP3. You're going to be able to get it if you're not taking notes. Here's the first power statement. If God has done something about your need, if God has done something about your need, then his responsibility has ended and yours has begun. If God has done something about your need, then his responsibility has ended and yours has begun. Second power statement, We cannot receive New Testament blessings with an Old Testament mindset. We cannot receive New Testament blessings with an Old Testament mindset. Third power statement. Faith rests in God's finished works. Faith rests in God's finished works. Now, these three power sermons, I'll probably give them every lesson for the next 5 weeks, or so weeks. I'm going to give these three power statements because these three power statements is going to be the thread that runs through the series. At the end of the series, I believe you're going to understand them. They're going to make a lot of sense. And then this thing about it is finished is going to make a lot of sense. Okay, so let's begin. The question is, what is finished? What is finished? Give you an overview. And then we'll come back and talk about it. Number one, God is finished. Come on, say God is finished.
God is finished.
Come on, say God is finished.
God is finished.
Come on, say God is finished.
God is finished.
Number two, Jesus is finished.
Jesus is finished.
Come on, say Jesus is finished.
Jesus is finished.
Number three, the Apostle Paul is finished. Come on, say it.
Apostle Paul is finished.
Okay, let's go back to God is finished. And that's all we're going to talk about today. Next week, next Wednesday, we'll talk about Jesus is finished. We'll see what that means. We'll talk about the Apostle Paul is finished. We'll see what that means. But today, we're just going to talk about God the Father is finished. Now, listen at this statement. Here's the big statement. God the Father has finished his works in heaven and in the earth. God the Father has finished his works in the heavens and in the earth. God the Father has finished his works in the heaven and the earth. God the Father has finished his works in the heaven and the earth. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at this verse, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were what?
Finished.
Were what?
Finished.
The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Now, that's talking about God's work in the heaven and in the earth. God is finished. God is through. God is done. Zip. Finished. Okay. Now, there are two major take-home points today. Two major take-home points today. I give them to you, then we'll come back and explain both of them. I give you an overview, then we'll come back and explain both of them. The first take-home point, these are major. God does everything first in the spiritual realm. That's the first take-home point. God does what?
Everything in the spirit.
God does what?
Everything first in the spiritual realm.
Now, listen. Some of what I'm going to say is going to sound like a judgment, but remember, I'm on your team. We're on the same team, okay? If I'm challenging us, I'm challenging me. I'm challenging the church, okay? I'm challenging the church. You're going to find out why many Christians are not getting their prayers answered, even though they're sincere. Good people love God. Don't want to serve the devil, don't want to live in the world, but they're praying, they're not getting their prayers answered because there's something that they're missing in their belief system. Now, listen at this. I give you the overview of the two major things. If you don't remember anything else, you got to remember these two things. And if you're taking notes, you got to write these two things down. Listen at this. God does everything first in the spiritual realm. Say that.
God does everything first in the spiritual realm.
Okay, here's the second statement. You got to remember this. Got to remember this. God is on vacation. Write that down. God is on what?
Vacation.
God is on what?
Vacation.
Now you got to remember these two things. God does everything first in the spiritual realm, and then God is on vacation. If you don't remember anything else about the lesson, you don't remember nothing else. If they ask you what the preacher talked about, say, God does everything first in the spiritual realm, and God is on vacation. If you remember those things, you got what I was teaching today. Got it? Okay. Now let's back up. Remember when you're swimming, sometimes you go out in the deep water, but if it get a little deep and you feel like, I don't know what he's talking about, okay, just keep paddling. Just keep doing this right here, and then we're gonna bring you back. we're gonna bring you back in, okay? Let's talk about God does everything first in the spiritual realm. Now listen at this. God is the parent, we're the children.
Amen.
Okay? So everything begins with God manifested in us. God is a parent. We're the children. Listen at this. The spiritual world where God lives, listen carefully, existed before the earth was made. The spiritual world where God lives existed before the earth was made. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Okay, now listen at this statement here. So the natural world is the offspring of the spiritual world. The natural world is the what?
Offspring
of the spiritual world. Got that? Okay, now listen to this. So everything begins in the spirit world. Nothing begins here first. Your parents existed before you existed. You're the offspring of your parent. Mm-hmm. The natural world is the offspring of the spiritual world. Everything begins first in the spiritual world. Now listen at this. God does everything first in the spiritual realm. Let's look at some scriptures. Let's prove this out from the Bible. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis 1, verse 27. Now look at this. It's up on the monitor too. Watch this. It says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. How many ever read that scripture? Okay, we all know that scripture. Now watch this. Here in this scripture, Adam and Eve were created spiritual beings. They were created spiritual beings. They're not physical yet. They were what?
Spiritual.
They're spiritual beings. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And Genesis 2, verse 21 and 22. Let's look at verse 7. Now, look what it says. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a what?
Living soul.
Now, but I thought he created them. In Genesis 1, 27, it says he created them male and female. But here we see the Lord God formed man. So now this is man's body. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But man existed before his body was formed.
That's right.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's right?
Okay. So this is man's body. Now look at verse 21. Let's look at verse 21 and verse 22. Let's look at verse 22. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept and he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh thereof. Verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her to the man. So now we see the woman being formed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But she existed back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's manifesting in the natural realm. Come on, say, Okay, so we see that Adam and Eve were created spiritual beings, and then Adam and Eve were given natural bodies, right?
Right.
Because everything begins in the spirit realm. Are you following me?
Yes.
Keep flowing. Now, keep paddling. Okay, let's look at another illustration. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Everything begins, faith people, you got to understand this. Everything begins first in the spiritual realm. If you get this, you're going to start resting. You're not going to be all anxious and all nervous, okay? Everything begins in the spiritual realm. First, it begins in the spiritual realm. God does nothing first in the natural. It always begins where?
In the spiritual realm.
Now, watch this. Look at this verse. God said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of your mother's womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, this is very interesting. Because before Jeremiah was physically born into the earth, God said, I knew you. God says, I knew you before you came out of your mother's womb. Now, watch this. He says, also, I assigned your destiny and call before you were born. Now, if you understand that, no challenges you face in your life will alter your destiny.
Amen.
Because your destiny was formed before you were born.
Amen.
And God saw everything that would happen in your life. Sometimes people go through divorces and different kinds of things and they think their life all over. Don't you understand that God stands out of time? He looked at the past, the present, and the future all at the same time.
Come on.
And he ordained before you were born what you were supposed to do. So he said, Jeremiah, I already ordained that you were going to be a prophet to the nation before you were born. So nothing in your life can alter that because it was determined before you were born. Does that make sense? Notice what it says. God said, I knew him before he was born.
That's right.
So listen at this statement. Listen at this statement. That means Jeremiah existed before he was born.
Wow.
Okay. Jeremiah did what?
Existed before he was born.
Jeremiah existed before he was born. Got it? Want to look at another illustration? Okay, let's look at another illustration. Let's look at Revelation 13:8. And this going what they're going to put up there is a different translation. It's going to be a different translation. We had to tweak it a little bit, but I found it in one translation. And this is what it says in one translation. Look what it says. It says, on all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belong, watch this, to the Lamb who was killed before the world was made. The Bible says that the Lamb, now we get ready to celebrate Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Sunday we're going to celebrate Easter. That's the resurrection. So Jesus died on Calvary, right?
Right.
But this scripture says that Jesus died before he was born. This scripture here, this scripture right here says that Jesus was killed. Yeah. He was killed before he died. Wow. We're going to make it back where we're going to all be able to stand up. This scripture says that he was killed before he was born. So God did not wait until Calvary. Calvary for us. Jesus was killed in God before Calvary, before Jesus was born. That scripture says the Lamb was killed before the world was made. That means before Jesus was born, he was killed.
Wow.
Okay. So everything in God begins first in the spiritual realm. Now, I'm walking real slow with this because every week we're going to add something and then you're going to see scriptures and you're going to say, oh, okay. And you're going to say, I had the wrong tense on that. That's why it wasn't working. Okay? So listen, said that
everything
began first.
In the spiritual realm.
Come on, say
God
does everything
first
in the spiritual realm. Okay, what was the second big major point?
He's on vacation.
God on vacation. Okay, we got to look at that. God is where?
On vacation.
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 God is on vacation. Now, let's prove that out from the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 through 3. God is on vacation, y'all. God is where? God is where? God is where? God is where? God is on vacation. Now watch this. Let's look at this. It says, in the seventh day, God ended his work. God ended his work. God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now listen carefully. That the text we just read says that God, when God finished his work of creation, he rested. Okay, let's look at that word rest. The word rest is the Hebrew word sabbath. We get our word Sabbath from it. And it means to cease from working. To cease from working, it means to put away. It means to leave. Vacation literally means to vacate. How many you take a you work on your vacation? You get vacation and you work on your vacation. Let me see your hand. Well, see. And in the church, we laugh, okay? We laugh, just like he laughing and she laughing. Because we ain't messing, we ain't hurting nobody feeling. You ain't vacation. That's not a vacation. You worked on it. Vacate means to leave. Mm-hmm. It means to cease. Anybody who works on their vacation did not take a vacation. Mm-hmm. You just took the money. You did not take a vacation. Now listen at this. Let me give you an illustration. So often we have a cruise. My wife kind of oversee a cruise we have at the church, and we've had two of them. And I think she plans we're going to do some down the road, have another cruise. Well, at first I was a little hesitant to go on cruise with the church members. Because I thought, man, because see, when I go on vacation, I vacate. Listen, I don't have my cell phone. I don't be checking that cell phone. My wife and I like the cruise. Okay. When that little thing, and they pull that thing up like that, I be like, oh, thank you, Lord. Listen, I don't have my cell phone on. I don't check. I don't be doing no emails. I don't do none of that. In fact, I don't even know Faith Chapel exists. If the thought came Faith Chapel, I bind it. I cast it out. I mean, I don't even know. I vacate. I leave. So when they were talking to my wife, talking about having a cruise with the church, I was thinking, I don't know if I want to go with the church folk, because they're going to be cornering me, and I'm going to be counseling on that thing. And I said, I had the most wonderful time. I had the most wonderful time with my church family. Because I told them, I said, now listen, okay. Listen, we're going to be on vacation. No counseling. I said, you can come up to me and we can talk. Okay, you can tell me and we can talk, and I get a chance to know you, and we just talk, okay? We just fellowship. But no counseling. You can't be asking me no questions now about I'm having this. You can't do that. And guess what? Nobody did it. I got a chance to meet different, because we got a large church. I got a chance to meet different ones, and they tell me what they did, and we just fellowship. It was wonderful. Because nobody tried to have me working. Where are you going with that? That's what a lot of Christians are doing. You're trying to work God and he on vacation. He'd already done his work, and we're trying to get him to work and he on vacation. Now the Bible says that God rested. Question, why did he rest?
He was finished.
He rested because he was finished. Now watch this. Faith rests in the finished works of God. Now listen, big take home point, big take home point, big take home point, big take home point. And I deliberately say, I'm not going to give you too much now. I'm going to give you a little bit at a time. Remember this. We're trying to get God to do what he did.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, I'm going to say it differently. We're trying to get God to do what he's already done. Now, I'm not talking about, listen carefully to me so you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Because I'm not a put down preacher. I'm a lift up preacher. Christians are dying because they're trying to get God to heal them. Christians are bound and in bondage to different kinds of habits because they are trying to get delivered. And many of you, you're trying to get God to bless you. We're trying to get God to do what he has already done. I'm going to let that sink for just a second. And if you get this, you're on. Now listen, Pastor's not talking about the inherent value of a person. I'm not talking about people weren't good people. They didn't love the Lord. I'm not talking about that. But let me share this with you. If you get attacked with a physical illness, okay, and you're trying to get God to heal you, you are going to die. You're going to die. Now, you may love the Lord. You're going to split heaven wide open to be absent from the body. And see, the average Christian, we're trying to get God to do what he's already done. Let that sink for a second. Let that sink for a second. Even sometimes in our worship, come by here, Lord. Come by here. You know, come here. Come on here, Lord. Come on here, Holy Spirit. Come on here. Come on here. This is like asking me, Pastor Mike, come on down to the Columbus Center tonight. Come on down to the Columbus Center. Go and pray. Ask the Lord to bring me down here. Come on, ask him. Come on, ask the Lord to bring me here. Come on, say, come on. Come on, bring Pastor Mike. Come on, say, bring Pastor
Mike to Columbus.
Contact, come on, bring him.
Bring Pastor Mike.
Come on, fast and pray and ask him.
Bring Pastor Mike to Columbus.
Now that's what Christians are doing.
Yeah, he's right here.
You praying for me to come to the Columbus Center, to the Cunningham Center, and I'm standing right here with you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now watch this. You're never in faith when you're trying to get God to do what he's already done.